So today's subject is about our existence. And of course, the age-old question of what is the meaning of life has been asked numerous times, whether in seriousness or in humor. But I think it's important to really look at how we believe, look at what really has meaning in our lives, and why. So I remember that John Lennon, imagining there's no heaven nor hell below us, he sang about people just living for today. And he imagined there were no countries and felt it was easy if you try. I am sure he believed we could find a way. It sounds to me to be a lovely thought of simple existence. However, I believe this removes reasoning for our existence. Our purpose would be diminished, if not eliminated, with a simple lights on, lights off occupation of the world without purpose. Some of this may seem to be a rehashing of previous statements, but I think it's important to understand our existence and the measure of our belief, our faith, and hope come the shuffling off of our mortal coil. In Romans 4:17 states, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, quickeneth the imparting of life to the dead. 1 Corinthians, and we are 15, and we're going to read 40 through 45. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. In Strong's number 2227, Zoapayeho means to make alive, give life. And thus is that related to quickening. In Romans 8:17, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In Acts 17:28, for in him we have life and motion and existence, as certain of your verse writers have said, for we are his offspring. I will add at this point that our current method of replication or propagating the species more closely fits an intelligent design or creation simply by definition of our place on earth. John 1:3. All things were made of him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Which really brings me to the first law of thermodynamics, which states energy can neither be created or destroyed, only altered in form. And in other words, you can't create something out of nothing. But now, with the study of quantum physics, scientists are alluding to the fact, and what appears to be fact to them, that matter can be derived from nothing. There always seems to be those that will go back and find what they previously believed was incorrect to substantiate their current theories. After all of these years, Scripture appears to be the constant, never being touted as a theory or starting as a theory and being passed as fact. First Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Our belief, our faith, and our hope is what gives us an answer to how we came into existence and why. Exist, to be, to have an essence of real being. A supreme being and first cause of all other things must have existed from eternity, for no being can have created himself. Existence, the state of being or having essence. In Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. As an insert, and not to beleaguer the subject of Mormonism, in the Joseph Smith History 1:16, Joseph Smith speaks of having seen God and his son Jesus during a visitation with him. Just a simple comment. I will leave you with your thoughts on this and save you from further pummeling of the deceased equine. John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And in the spirit of these scriptures, I give you a poem that I wrote a couple of years back entitled Atmosphere. I have never seen the air. I wouldn't recognize the wind by sight. Although I know it's there, it goes unseen day or night. The air manifests in different ways as wind, gusts, breeze, breath, tornado, hurricane. Sometimes its presence is known for days. Its direction is evidenced by a weather vane. Sometimes I watch the air rustle the leaves, swirling circles in corners or swept across the ground. Knowing the air by everything that breathes, compassed we are by the air all around. Air is ever present, but invisible to our eyes. Rain or shine, the air is always near. From the ground up to the sky, immersed I am evermore in this atmosphere. As the air is all around us and we need it to survive, so is the Lord, and without Him we cannot live. We move on to Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Only that for which you search can be found. Lost articles will remain hidden unless a search is attempted. We've learned that with our children who can't find their shoes in their room, and all they do is peek in and say, "I can't find it," in the mess. Our existence is dependent upon God's existence and searching for those treasures for us that only God can bestow. God can see things in His creation that we may not always see. For instance, in Exodus 28:15-21. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make of it, of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen, shalt thou make of it. Foursquare it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. And this shall be the first row. And the second row shall be emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. Revelation 19:20-21. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was one of pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. I might remind you that Ronnie spoke of these precious stones and particular qualities of the city back on April 9th as part of his in-depth study of angels and giants. Fact or fiction? Why do we not see diamonds included in the foundations of the city walls? The answer, I think, is the word isotropic. An isotropic object or substance possesses a physical property which has the same value when measured in different directions, such as in sunlight. The gems in the foundation of the city have anisotropic characteristics. So anisotropic objects or substances have a physical property that has a different value when measured in different directions, such as cross-polarized lighting. Then, in Ezekiel 28:13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. The anisotropic characteristics of the gems in the city foundation would have been relatively unknown to humans, so therefore would have been to the pleasure of the Lord. These gems were chosen for their dynamic characteristics, anisotropic qualities. The most elaborate and profound use of anisotropic gems are the garnishments of the foundation, the city, in Revelation chapter 21. Moving back to Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. At this point, Adam and Eve were evicted. In spite of this, no other creature on earth was shown such favor nor granted the attributes we humans possess. Our abilities, our emotions, our capabilities stand apart from all other creatures on earth in such a way as to speak to a special existence and not a measure of happenstance. I would go as far to say that man possesses characteristics that could be likened in metaphor to anisotropy. Without our belief, our faith in the love and existence of God, the guidance we receive due to our prayer and belief, our existence is inconsequential. As I have said before, our existence has no meaning without faith and hope, and thus consigns us to a life of consumption, spatial occupation, and rendering ourselves singularly as fodder for the fields. Therefore, perpetuation of the species is only that of the aforementioned measures of existence. There is nothing to look forward to, and hope becomes a menial gamble in life. Meaning survival of the fittest and nothing more, or wishing to live a long life and then die through natural attrition. Game over. Furthermore, if you remove creation from our record, then the human species is relegated to an existence that is tantamount to a highly evolved bacteria or parasite that consumes its surrounding resources to its own demise. Do I have all the answers, and do I know the absolute meaning of life? No. All things being equal, my belief in a divine being and creation has merit with what I feel are definitive explanations. This is what bolsters my hope. For if not the faith in our Lord and God, nor the hope of our salvation, and the promise of everlasting life, then my existence would be compassed by hopelessness and void of reason. I realize this is a very short presentation, but I felt it deserved to be concise, and tried my best not to be too verbose. Lord, again, I am here ending this study for now in the hopes that it was edifying to all who are listening and most of all pleasing to you, Lord. We give thanks for your inspiration from the scriptures that enlighten us and the understanding of your will, your love, and your design. Thank you for making it possible for me to present this study, and again I pray that it is well received. I thank you, Lord, and if I may be so bold as to speak for all of us, we stand steadfast in the glory and the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.